question was asked, has Judaism evolved, developed, conformed, reformed over the generations? And I think we should analyze the question from two angles. So let's begin. Let's just go through Shulchan Aruch, right? If we take Aruch Chaim, and let's go through the halachas and see. Slowly. Let's go one step at a time. So we have the laws of waking up in the morning, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. That stayed pretty constant, right? I guess you could write that as a computer script and put it on your board, but it's the same halacha. Our prayer hasn't changed too much. A little bit of customs here and there. The way we dress our clothing, so the clothing we wear is the same. What?
How can we say that the prayer didn't change if the time of the day there was no requirement to pray at all?
Okay. So, in 1 second, let's get to you. So, we can look at the Shulchan Aruch in order and point out a bunch of things that changed. So, Avi is going to point out that prayers changed in the time of the Second Temple. He had the institution of Shmoneh Esrei. I thought he was talking about since the destruction of the Temple, but we can talk about tzitzis that today are machine made, and tefillin that the straps are machine made, and the bayit is made by a machine, and we could have a more perfect square. We still write it by hand. So we have to define what we mean when we say change. The system is the same system. Within that system, there's a certain evolvement. So if that system allows for a great expert of Torah as existed in the time of the Second Temple to develop Shmoneh Esrei can develop. There are levels of expertise that allow us levels of institution, or if you want to call it change. So for the rabbis to make a certain level of a takana, like Megillas Esther, you need a level of prophecy. For the rabbis to add books to the Tanakh, you need a level of prophecy. You come to the period of the Second Temple where you stop having prophets, but the rabbis still have a mastery of the laws of derivation. So with their laws of derivation, they can derive answers to questions. Not only make institutions like Muktzeh or Takonos or institute mitzvos, but even answer new questions from derivations of the Torah. Then you reach the period of the end of the Second Temple, where the rabbis decide that they no longer have the tradition strongly enough to derive from the Torah answers to new questions. And now we're working within a system which allows us a certain amount of wiggle space, meaning within this system you have different opinions. Within the system you have machlokos, and the machlokos are not eradicated. On the contrary, within the Mishnah and the Gemara, we're purposely presented with the differing opinions so that one who learns the tradition can understand where that gives him wiggle space, where that the halacha gives us space to maneuver. So things are not closed completely, but there is a system. And that system remains a constant. And that system evolves through the Shas, through the Rishonim, through the Achronim, through today. So if a new question arises, for example, if today they have these drinks that you could open a soda can and it's going to have coffee inside, and you turn the thing on the bottom and two chemicals mix on the bottom of the can, just underneath the can, and cause your coffee to bubble up and be heated. So now the question is, can I use it on Shabbos or not? I'm going to have to address that question with the tools I have, with the system from then. If society evolved, if today we can write a Sefer Torah and have a strong light underneath and have the print underneath, and the sofer can just write and see the whole Torah written under that Torah. You understand what I'm saying? So the sofer is writing, and from a strong light underneath, he can see the letters he's supposed to write. Right, so I'm going to have to deal with that based on the system I have from the days of the Gemara. If the sages discussed, does a printing press have Kedusha? And on the one hand, we say it does, so we treat all these farm like they're holy. On the other hand, we say it doesn't, because we're not going to buy printed mezuzah, right? You're not going to have a printed Sefer Torah. So we're drawing the line somewhere in the middle. where in some regards we say it has kedusha, in some regards it doesn't. Machine matzahs. So science has evolved, society has evolved, and the halacha with it has evolved. In certain areas, the minhag defines the evolvement of halacha. So if women all say I don't know of any woman that omits it from benching, but the Raman Shulchan Aruch says we should. So you see, that did not become the accepted minhag. And so on and so forth. So we have a system. Yes, that system has a certain amount of maneuvering and evolvement. But it's not that the halacha really changed. It's that it's the same system, only with the capacity to apply it today. The difference between Orthodox Judaism and Reform or Conservative Judaism is, do I adhere to the system or not? Whether you want to call it change or not, well, I don't like when people say Judaism changed. Judaism didn't change. Judaism is using the same system we've been using for ever since the Torah was given by Moshe. It's true that our capacity to use some of the rules changed. And it's true that certain things change, minhagim change, and the halacha sometimes changes. That's all true. But that's not really change. It's the same system. Reform walks in and says, no more Shmona Esrei. We're taking out the part about Jerusalem. That's change. You're not working within the system. You're inventing something that's not our tradition. To my mind, that would be the difference between whether Judaism changed or not. Again, if you're going to look within the system, is there change? Yes, within the system there's change. You gave a very good example. The Talmud says when you're about to walk into the bathroom, you say, "Itkabdu mechubadim." You talk to the angels that are accompanying you and you say, "Look, I'm going to do what humans do, so forgive me, I'm going to be gone for a few minutes. Don't run away." We don't say that anymore. It says in Shulchan Aruch that for us to say that would be arrogance. Or I would add, or insanity. But whatever. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Because today many people who talk to angels are not sane. You could say that the person's holy, and you could say he's being arrogant. But you could also say there might be something wrong with him if he's talking to angels. Maybe. You're right, maybe not. But at any rate, I'm just saying that's all within the system. And that's why I wouldn't call it change. I would call it within the system. The system, it leaves room, as the Mishnah says. Chazal purposely included within the Mishnah multiple opinions. They gave us that system to work with, and that's why the Rav of each generation has to decide. And that's why Rav Shalom Shachno, who was the Rebbe of the Ramah, he did not want to write down a Shulchan Aruch, because he felt that would be too constricting. The next generation, the rabbis saw that if they don't write a Shulchan Aruch, everything's going to be lost. The people are losing it. They're not smart enough. So without, for lack of a better option, they wrote a Shulchan Aruch. But you see, there was this idea that the halacha has to be ruled by the rabbis of that generation based on their understanding of the halachic system and that generation. But based on the system, based on the tradition gives us the room to give halachic ruling based on the needs of the times. But again, within the system. And that's the huge difference between our tradition and the other movements that have always attacked us, be it the Karaites, be it Korach, be it the Reform movement, be it the Maskilim. Every generation had their people who came in and said, this isn't right, you guys aren't with the times. We've been through this over and over again. It could be the Hellenists. It could be every generation you look at. You'll see there were always groups who tried to detract from us. The Sadducees, the Baitusees. Just look at Jewish history from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu onward. Okay, but this is our tradition, and that's why we're still here.
But those movements see themselves as the carriers, at least the Karaites. I mean, we could have all been Karaites, the Karaites.
So for that, we have to discuss the Kuzari. If you understand what a real Karaite is, you can't call that traditional. Because the Karaites leave it for each person to define the Torah the way they see.
The modern-day Karaites themselves have their own Torah Shabbat now. It's almost a joke. They talk about their books and their websites. They talk about the Karaite tradition.